The grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Our scripture this morning is Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2. As Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. Then he asked them, "You see all these, do you not? Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." The word of the Lord. About 1,000 years, almost 1,000 years before Jesus spoke these words about the temple in the first century, the first temple, Solomon's temple, was built. It was built under the leadership of King Solomon. David, his father, wanted to build a temple, a house for God, and God said, "No, to David, you can't build me a temple because you have too much blood on your hands." So it fell to Solomon to build the temple. And it was, the scriptures tell us, filled with the finest furnishings and upholsteries that were available in the known age, cedar and gold, and it was beautiful and extravagant. A center of life in Jerusalem for about 400 years. After 400 years, the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. They destroyed it completely. It was burned. The parts that would burn and the parts that wouldn't burn were either carted off back to Babylon to exile, the valuable parts, or were torn down. After a period of a number of decades, the Persians kind of absorbed the Babylonian Empire, and the Persians had a very different approach to their conquered territories. And the Persians decided that it would be shrewd to send the exiles, all the people from Jerusalem, the educated elite, it would be who were sent into exile, they decided it would be prudent to send them all back to Jerusalem. And so they did, and they gave Jerusalem a measure of self-rule as long as they paid tribute to Persia and to the king of Persia. And they went one step further, a surprising move, really, for a conquering empire. They funded the rebuilding of the temple. They, through their imperial wealth, they gave money to the returned exiles in Jerusalem to build another temple. Now, it's important to note, that most Israelites were not taken into exile. That the common people, the everyday people, the Am Haaretz in Hebrew, the people of the land, stayed in Judah, stayed on the land. I mean, somebody had to farm, right? And it was them. And they stayed there. And when the exiles returned, there they were, still there. And there was a bit of a tenuous relationship between these returned exiles and their project to rebuild this temple and the people that had stayed there and found a way to worship God without the temple there. Well, the temple was rebuilt, and then some hundreds of years later, Herod the Great, who died about the time that Jesus was born, Herod the Great refurbished and expanded the temple under Roman rule, and that's the temple that Jesus knew. That was the temple of Jesus' day, and the one that he talks about in the story. Now, it's also important to note that the Romans had a somewhat similar approach to the Persians. They gave the Judean ruling authorities a measure of autonomy, and the temple was there, and they encouraged the worship in the temple, and they allowed the ruling authorities in Judea the power to manage local affairs. And of course, this freed the Romans from a lot of day-to-day headaches and responsibilities that came with being in charge, with governing. If they could outsource a lot of their governing responsibilities to the ruling elite, the Judean elite, it would save them a lot of problems. So that was kind of the arrangement that had been established by the Romans during the time of Jesus. So when Jesus comes along and says, you see these buildings, you see this the temple here, you're impressed, aren't you? It's very impressive. It's this is hundreds of years old, and it's beautiful and grand, and we love it. It's a symbol of us as a people and of our faith. But I tell you, not one stone will be left on stone. These were dangerous words to speak. Just as we discussed last week with the cleansing of the temple, to predict or suggest or even hint that the temple might be destroyed was extremely dangerous for anyone to do. And it was certainly dangerous for Jesus to do. There's a term, I don't know, it's a French term, and I'm not sure I'm going to say this right, lese majeste. It's a term that refers to offending the dignity of the ruling authorities. And there was a sense in which there was a kind of a lese majeste, that if you spoke against the temple, you were offending God, and you were offending the ruling authorities. You were getting yourself in trouble. And it's no surprise, then, if you fast forward in the Gospels, you see that the charge that's brought against Jesus that has staying power is that he said he was going to destroy the temple. That was the charge that had staying power for him. That got him in trouble. Of course, Jesus never said that he was going to destroy the temple. He revered the temple, and he made pilgrimages to it. But he had a view of the temple that was suspect, we might say. And it got him into trouble to even suggest that the temple would be destroyed. Was a dangerous thing to do. We are, during this Lenten period, we're asking ourselves what it means for us to follow this Jesus, this particular Jesus, this Jesus that confronts the authorities, this dangerous Jesus, this Jesus that threatens the status quo, the relationship, the fragile relationship that the Romans had with the Judean ruling elite. What does it mean to follow that Jesus? And the story of the first martyr is an instructive story for us as we think about this question. Stephen, Saint Stephen, in the book of Acts, was accused of, do you know what he was accused of that got him in front of the trial? I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the temple. He was accused of speaking against this holy place, the temple. That was the charge that was brought against Stephen. And by association, his association with Jesus, it was made worse because Jesus said he would destroy the temple. So Stephen was brought before the council, the Sanhedrin, for judgment, to be questioned and to be evaluated. And Stephen gives a long speech It's a good chunk of the book of Acts, Stephen's speech before the Sanhedrin. And he concludes the speech by talking about the temple. He talks first about the tent of witness, the tent of testimony that was built in the wilderness and then brought into the land of Canaan and then brought into Jerusalem. And he observes that David wanted to build a temple but couldn't, and then Solomon built a temple. And then he says, but God does not live in houses made by human hands. God does not live in houses made by human hands. And this is echoed later in the book of Acts by Paul, who says to Athens, God does not dwell in shrines made by human hands. It's a dangerous thing to say. But it raises the question, doesn't it? Human beings through the ages have built temples. They have built shrines. They have built places that were understood to be holy. Places where God dwells. So the question becomes, well, if God doesn't dwell in holy places made by human hands, where does God dwell? What is the dwelling place of God? The book of Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, speaks of a temple. It speaks of a temple, a new temple, if you will, with Christ as the cornerstone. And this temple is built out of us. It's built out of brothers and sisters. It's built out of believers, that Christ takes us and destroys the dividing wall of hostility. And out of this diversity, God builds a dwelling place, a holy temple to God, where God resides. Peter uses the phrase living stones, building up the kingdom with living stones. Each of us, a living stone, imperfect in our own way, but together, a holy temple to God. In Ephesians, that passage in Ephesians, it talks about Christ making peace, about Christ creating a new humanity that becomes a temple, a dwelling place for God. So when I look around here this morning, I see living stones. I see a temple. I see a dwelling place for God. When I think about the church universal, I think of living stones, thousands of them, millions of them, built into a holy temple for the Lord. Amen.